Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Yes, thanks to Trent Brown and everybody at James H. Brown for being the title sponsor of Inside Sports. They also did fill the net during the Oilers' regular season, and it will continue into the playoffs. $100 to 630 Chet Santa's Anonymous every time the Oilers score. Hopefully that happens many, many times over the next, 7 weeks or so. That'd be pretty good. The game's over in the NBA. Heat beat the Bulls 112-91, so they will be the number 8 seed in the East. Kings and Pelicans are going to go at it soon to determine the number 8 seed in the Western Conference. Tune into 630 Chet tomorrow morning at 9:30 for the Elks this week with host Dave Campbell. Offensive linemen will take center stage. Dave will talk with right guard Thomas Jack Cardilla. You'll also hear from former Elk Tony Washington, who participated in his very first pro wrestling match last weekend in Montreal. The Elks this week with Dave Campbell tomorrow morning at 9:30 on 630 Chet. Of course, hockey, playoff hockey, Monday, 4 o'clock, Oilers now, 6 o'clock face-off show, game at 8, Oilers and Kings. Tomorrow, of course, 2 games to get it going in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, Mountain Time, Islanders, Carolina, 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Oh, the good old 6 o'clock start time, like when I was a boy, Toronto and Boston. A lot of people wouldn't remember that time slot, eh, Kellen? Before doubleheaders? Are you even old enough to remember that?
Vaguely.
They went to doubleheaders when? 92, 93, something
like
that?
Yeah, I think it was, I'll have to double check with John. I think it was sometime in the 90s when they went to it permanently.
Because
it used to be just one game on Saturday. Hockey Night in Canada was at 8 o'clock Eastern, 6 Mountain Time. There weren't 2 games.
Yeah. And I clued in on hockey probably, with the current interest level that I have now, which is extreme, back in about 93 or so. So
it's probably, I think
about
it was
that
around
time,
then.
Yeah.
I think it was around then that it started. Let's just get to a couple of the more interesting and or creative text messages on our listeners' confidence level in the Oilers in round one.
Well, somebody sent us in the, I guess what it'd be, the Telestrator or the monitor from that Saturday Night Live sketch that you had.
The cowbell?
The Will Ferrell Jeopardy one.
Oh, the other one.
It says, suck it, Trebek, is what it says. So
somebody wrote, I think they had Jimmy Fallon doing French Stewart, and he wrote Threave, and then you said it. I wouldn't say suck it on the show. We're quoting a sketch, everybody.
I'm a product of the Attitude Era in WWE, so there we go.
So the Connery character, it looked like a V, and then they said, well, what did you wager? And they revealed the rest of the screen, and the V was the top of a K, and it said, suck it, Trebek.
Yes.
All right. Rated M, that part of the show, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And Morris texts in and says he just went out to the barn and his horse stomped 8 times, so that must be his confidence level.
He's got a counting horse.
That's
amazing. I assume the horse does math as well.
Yes, he stomped it out.
1995, I just found, thanks to the wonders of Wikipedia, was when they started these Saturday Night doubleheaders.
Gotcha.
That sounds right. 780-496-0063. Well, what did the guy say his horse's name?
No, but the fellow's name's Morris that texted it in.
All right, so we will call the horse Morris's Magical Stallion. Well, maybe it's not a stallion. We'll call it Morris's Magical Horse, and perhaps it can help us with playoff predictions and stats along the way. That's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
What was that monkey TSN had? Was it Maggie the Monkey?
Yes.
That was nigh on 20 years ago.
Wow,
wasn't it in 03 where there were a bunch of upsets?
And she called
somebody
it.
And and something else happened like that. By the way, when Luke Gazdick checks in a few minutes, it'll be for Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. I am going to ask Luke if he likes Taylor Swift. So Taylor Swift has a new record out.
New album?
Does anybody call them records?
They're still albums.
She
yeah.
has a new album out. What is it called? The Tragic Poet. It's not the Dead Poets Society. That's the Robin Williams movie directed by Peter Weir.
Right. Something to do with poets.
I think it's a Tragic Poets Department. And I looked up, and as I've talked about, I have coworkers here, friends who like just idolize Taylor Swift. Like their lives just revolve around her and her music.
Hmm.
And so I was looking up today. Since 2019, Taylor Swift has put out 5 albums. And she's obviously the peak musical act in the universe right now. Arguably the most popular musical act ever. Band, solo artist. She's up there. Maybe she's not number one, but she's huge. And I thought to myself, when I think back to when I was younger and listening to music, that's not how it was done. You didn't put out music that often when you were on top of the world. You know, it's got to be at least 2 years between releases. And in that span, something's got to happen. Like your guitar player dies, your lead singer gets fired, your drummer loses an arm, you know, and people think you're finished and you toil away in secret for months. And then one day, people walk into HMV and your cassette is on the shelf. That's how it's done, Taylor. Not an album every year. I texted this to my buddy, who's a very clever individual. And he said, Reed, if you could finger paint a sketch of the Rocky Mountains every 10 seconds and 1 billion fans told you the paintings were awesome, you'd be snapping them off as fast as you could, too. How much longer until she buys the Chiefs?
I mean, it could happen.
I love that. That's my buddy Dan. Well, she's clearly capitalizing on her success. I listened to 2 songs off the album. I'll listen to the whole album at some point.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, I'd like to know what's going on in popular culture. But, yeah, she's big. 780-496. So are you a Swiftie?
No.
Have you heard of her?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
I'd be somewhat concerned what rock you were living under if you hadn't heard of her.
Taylor Swift, who's this? What are you talking about?
Yeah. But I don't even know if you're old enough. Like, I remember those days. You would just go to HMV.
Yep.
What's out today?
Yeah.
You might have an inkling that your favorite artist is putting out an album.
Yeah.
Or they're due. But it wouldn't just show up on your phone and you pressed add or press play and you listened to it.
Reed, I built up my entire CD collection basically with the old HMV 2 for $20 sales because you could just go and get 2 CDs for $20.
And you
bucks.
Had to
I used
go
to do that
there
every week.
And, you know, do you have the release date right? What if it's delayed? There's no way to find out until you go. What if it's sold out? It wasn't a guarantee that you'd be able to consume it.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed. And Taylor Swift, apparently the perfect musician, singer, artist, to take advantage of it. Anyway, just a side thought that I had. We will get to Luke Gazdick coming up Inside Sports on 630 Chet.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta's precedent-setting injury lawyers.
Good to have you tuning in tonight. Oilers did not practice today. They will skate tomorrow at 11. I assume there'll be a practice Sunday as well. Morning skate Monday, game against the Kings. Monday night, third year in a row, they're going to be going at it. Going to be fun. 4 o'clock Oilers now on Monday. 6 o'clock faceoff show, game at 8. Got everything covered to lead you into that game, set up all the storylines, and hopefully it'll be a good series for your Edmonton Oilers as they try to beat the Kings for the 3rd consecutive year. He joins us on Inside Sports. It is presented by Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. Former Oiler, now a broadcaster, it is Luke Gazdick. Luke, how are you doing?
Good, Reid. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I feel like everybody, not everybody, a lot of people, especially younger people around the station, they're all talking about this Taylor Swift record that came out. Are you into that?
Oh, yeah.
Is it still on record?
Yeah, it is. You're right. Everyone's all over that today. I guess you could call me a Swiftie. I I've listened to her music for a long time. I went to her concert, her Eras Tour concert in Detroit this summer, and it was honestly unbelievable. Just 3 hours of absolute hits. It was I was a little out of place with the crowd, but man, she puts on a good show.
Yeah, is this the show that's on Disney Plus now that you can go watch?
That's the one, Eras Tour.
The Eras Tour, okay. Well, you're completely plugged into it. I don't know, I miss the days of lining up to get a new cassette at HMV, but you probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
No, not necessarily, but hey, I collect old vinyls and stuff. I'm a music junkie too. I got a big collection at home. I definitely love to get into music and listen to full albums and all that stuff still.
Okay. That aside, these last couple Oilers games were, I guess, not the most interesting to watch. I felt like the team wasn't fully engaged. Obviously, their top seven scorers didn't play last night. Are you just like, okay, they got through healthy, let's just get going now?
I mean, I would have rather them gone in 2-0, feeling really good, outscoring both opponents and guys feeling good, to be honest. I'm not concerned about it, but I think I would have liked the latter in terms of scenarios. I mean, the Arizona game was tough. That's like major, major distraction time. And I think there was just so much going on and around that game and that arena. It's almost like I can understand that. And they also did rest guys. And I understand that. The Colorado one, listen, starting Stu was a bit of a, you know, I don't know the exact adjective or, you know, word I want to use to describe it, but I didn't necessarily agree with it to leave him hanging out there with, you know, seven of your starters missing. I guess if he goes out there and has a shutout, we're not having this conversation, but he didn't. And that's the only thing I think, you know, I was maybe a bit puzzled at was the decision for Stu to start. But even last night, like, they had all their big guns going. You don't dress, you know, your entire top six. It's inevitable.
So how do you feel about part three here between the Kings and the Oilers? I think the Oilers should be favored. I also know it's a fine line in hockey. LA is still a very good team. How do you handicap this series, Luke?
Yeah, 3 years in a row now. I am going to do a quick podcast plug. I had LA Kings assistant GM, two-time Stanley Cup champion, Mike Fiuta, on my pod today, where we did a nice playoff preview and breakdown of it. And it was interesting to talk to him because he kind of got me in the mind of the guys that he has connections with in Kopitar and Doughty. And he brought up a good point in saying that it's kind of, you know, it's kind of make or break for them too. Like, they went into this year saying, we don't want to just win a playoff round. We want to win a Stanley Cup. And I don't think they maybe thought they were going to draw the Oilers in round one again, but that's how this playoff breakdown works, the way the divisions work. I like the Oilers in this one too. I've said it from day one. I think that if Stu can make some saves and that the guys are engaged, then the sky is the limit for this hockey team. Obviously, I think a lot of the big talk is the system that LA plays and what they've had a lot of success with is this passive 1-3-1. But the last time these two teams played each other, I feel like Edmonton started to find some ways to expose it. And that's what smart players will do. When you play teams over and over again, you learn ways to beat systems. And when you have personnel like the Oilers do and smart players like McDavid, Draisaitl, they're going to find ways to expose that and pick you apart. So no doubt the Kings are going to throw everything at them, and there's some really good players in that locker room. But I do also like the Oilers in this one.
All right. Yeah, it's obviously going to be it's interesting for me because I remember when McClellan spoke last year after the Kings were eliminated, he said, we want to win the Stanley Cup, but right now we can't beat Edmonton. We can't even get out of our division. So if you're a Kings player, are you glad to get another crack at the Oilers, or are you thinking like, well, this is the team that we haven't been able to beat 2 years in a row that keeps stopping us?
Well, they had a chance not to last night. I had triple box going last night. I had the Edmonton game, and then I had Vegas and LA on a split screen, and Chicago makes a wild comeback in the third. They actually had the chance to probably cross over and play Dallas, but honestly, I don't know if that's a better option. That's a good team they have down there in Dallas. I gotta think it's in the back of their heads. Like, it's something that I don't want to say it's a mental block, but I mean, if you continually play against the same team and you can't have success, it's something that you're always going to be thinking about. And yeah, they've added some different guys, and Byfield's really taken off this year, and they've had production from up and down their lineup. But at the end of the day, this is a team that they certainly struggle against, and not even just in the playoffs last year. Edmonton went 3-1 against them this year. So the tables are definitely tilted, and it just seems like Connor and the Oil have LA's number. You got to think that's something that, you know, that sits in the back of their minds when they're getting ready and preparing for this series.
When a team is in the postseason, do players like have to become even more insulated than usual? I mean, as you know, Kelly Rudy's on my show every week, and he mentioned it today, and he's mentioned in the past, like when he went into the playoffs, it was like, make sure your taxes are done, make sure your wife understands things are going to be different. You know, is it a further level of not just intensity, but of even just blocking yourself out from the outside world as much as possible once you're in postseason mode?
Yeah, I think so. I was unfortunate, and I don't want to say unfortunate, but I didn't have any playoff runs in the NHL, but I had long playoff runs in the American League at the beginning and the end of my career. And I felt that way for sure. It's almost like you drop everything that's happening and there is one goal in mind. And it's just crazy how close you get with your teammates and in runs like this. It's just, you feel like you spend every waking minute together with them. They become your family, whether you have families at home. They become your brothers and your family. And man, I'm getting chills thinking about it, because it's some of the funnest moments and memories of my life is being in the playoffs and going to battle every night with 23 or closest friends.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And, you know, eliminating all outside distractions. I kind of echo what Kelly said. It's kind of making sure all your ducks are in a row before everything starts here, and making sure that, you know, your mind and your goal is just center focused on winning a championship. And I think he's right. You kind of just drop everything and go for it.
Give me two other series that you're particularly interested in of the other seven. We know Oilers and Kings. I'm saying two because I'm going to guess you're going to say Toronto and Boston.
Well,
so why wouldn't you? But
that,
maybe
right.
Not. So
Everyone's been asking me, give me another series that you're watching other than Edmonton. And then I'm like, obviously it's Toronto, Boston. I'm here in yeah. Toronto. I'm a Leaf fan. Like, I grew up on this team. And it's just the narrative is starting, right? And the writing's on the wall. They haven't beaten this team in the playoffs since 1959. They're winless against them this year. It is very much like, you know, LA and Edmonton, but the flip side, right? It's like Toronto's the Kings, and they just can't get past Boston. But I love their roster this year. They play hard. They play tough. They got a ton of skill up front. It's just about getting them engaged. And I think that thing goes seven, and you know, we'll go from there. I know the city's buzzing right now, but there's a little sense of nervousness, I think, a little bit. And I'd say the second one is probably Jets Avs. I think that's something we've kind of been almost building that narrative for the last couple of months at the studio on TV. The Central Division has probably three of the best teams in hockey, three teams that I think could go on and win a Stanley Cup in Dallas and Colorado and Winnipeg. And it's just a shame the way it's set up that one of them is going to go home in the first round. I really like this Jets team. I'm very bullish on this Jets team. The more I watch them this year, they're just big and tough and fast and skilled. And it's going to be a hard team to beat in a seven game series. And I think almost the same about Colorado. Like, I know Edmonton had a bunch of starters missing last night, but you see their depth last night, and maybe goaltending's their Achilles heel, but man, those two teams are just going to beat the heck out of each other. And it'll be interesting to see who comes out of that one on top. Winnipeg's had the upper hand, but yeah, it's got a good team as well. So I'd say those two for sure.
All right. You're coming to Edmonton, by the way, soon?
I'll be there on Wednesday. I'll be boots on the ground in Edmonton for game two. I'll be in the building. And then this weekend coming up, I know the Oilers are on the road, but I'll be in town for the Alzheimer's Face-Off Pro-Am, which is a really cool tournament I take part in every year. There's a draft, and there's a nice, cool hockey tournament where you get drafted to a team, and all the funds go to Alzheimer's. So very cool. So I'll be out there for just under a week.
Well, hopefully we will see each other in person then, Luke. I really appreciate it. Enjoy the opening weekend of the postseason, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks. You too, Reed.